is merely a rung on the ladder. Now all men suffer from ignorance of the truth. Deceived by common report, they make for these ends as if they were good. And then, after having won their wish and suffered much, they find them evil, or empty, or less important than they had expected. Most men admire that which deceives them at a distance, and by the crowd, good things are supposed to be big things. Now, lest this happen also in our own case, let us ask, what is the good? It has been explained in various ways. Different men have described it in different ways. Some define it in this way. That which attracts and calls the spirit to itself is a good. But the objection at once comes up. What if it does attract, but straight to ruin? You know how seductive many evils are. That which is true differs from that which looks to be the truth. Hence, the good is connected with the true, for it is not good unless it is also true. But that which attracts and allures is only like the truth. It steals your attention, demands your interest, and draws you to itself. Therefore, some have given this definition. That is good which inspires desire for itself, or rouses towards itself the impulse of a struggling soul. There is the same objection to this idea, for many things rouse the soul's impulses, and yet the search for them is harmful to the seeker. The following definition is better. That is good which rouses the soul's impulse towards itself in accordance with nature, and is worth seeking only when it begins to be thoroughly worth seeking. It is by this time an honorable thing, for that is a thing completely worth seeking. The present topic suggests that I state the difference between the good and the honorable. Now, they have a certain quality which blends with both and is inseparable from either. Nothing can be good unless it contains an element of the honorable, and the honorable is necessarily good. What then is the difference between these two qualities? The honorable is the perfect good, and the happy life is fulfilled thereby. Through its influence, other things are also rendered good. I mean something like this. There are certain things which are neither good nor bad, as military or diplomatic service, or the pronouncing of legal decisions. When such pursuits have been honorably conducted, they begin to be good, and they change over from the indifferent class into the good. The good results from partnership with the honorable, but the honorable is good in itself. The good springs from the honorable, but the latter from itself. What is good might have been bad. What is honorable could never have been anything but good. Some have defined as follows. That is good which is according to nature. Now, attend to my own statement. That which is good is according to nature. But that which is according to nature does not also become immediately good. For many things harmonize with nature, but are so petty that it is not suitable to call them good. For they are unimportant and deserve to be despised. But there is no such thing as a very small and despicable good. For as long as it is scanty, it is not good. And when it begins to be good, it ceases to be scanty. How, then, can the good be recognized? Only if it is completely according to nature. People say, "You admit that that which is good is according to nature, for this is its peculiar quality. You admit, too, that there are other things according to nature, which, however, are not good. How, then, can the former be good and the latter not? How can there be an alteration in the peculiar quality of a thing when each has, in common with the other, the special attribute of being in accord with nature? Surely, because of its magnitude. It is no new idea that certain objects change as they grow. A person, once a child, becomes a youth. His peculiar quality is transformed. For the child could not reason, but the youth possesses reason. Certain things not only grow in size as they develop, but grow into something else." Some reply, "But that which becomes greater does not necessarily become different. It matters not at all whether you pour wine into a flask or into a vat. The wine keeps its peculiar quality in both vessels. Small and large quantities of honey are not distinct in taste." "But these are different cases which you mention. For wine and honey have a uniform quality. No matter how much the quantity is enlarged, the quality is the same. For some things endure according to their kind and their peculiar